Lord be with you. Read it from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to him, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore. But the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you'll find something." So they cast it and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they are not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. So you're listening to the last chapter of the last Gospel. Beautiful passage. First point, Peter did not want to give an example of being lazy. So we shouldn't be just standing around doing nothing. He said, "We're going fishing." And Peter was a born leader. They followed him. So the first point is we should try to avoid laziness in all forms. Physical laziness, mental laziness, and spiritual laziness. Amen? Idleness is the workshop of the devil, and that's true. Very true. And it's not a frenetic, nervous, anxious laziness, but being occupied in wholesome activities. It could be something physical. Reading a good book. Doing a holy hour. Maybe two, okay? These are wholesome activities that keep us engaged. St. Bonaventure says that when we're working hard, there's one devil after us anyway. But when we're not working, there's a whole multitude or army of devils that are going after us. So let's keep the devils out of our lives by working hard. Amen? Okay. St. Peter went fishing All of you are called to go fishing also. Not saying you have to go down the shore and get on the Queen Mary and, you know, drop your nets, no? But all of us are called to be fishers of men. If you're confirmed, it's a sacrament, which is the call to the apostolate. If any of you have ever done the spiritual exercise with me, and some of you have, it's the call of the King. It's the call of the King. So if you have participated in this Mass, you've listened to the Word of God preached without charge, okay? And you receive the Eucharist, which is the body and blood of Christ, you have to bring people to the church. So let's pray that all of you will be able to bring, okay, every month you'll be able to bring one person to the church. That means 12 a year. So next year at this time, I want to see this church packed, okay? And if not, we're at fault. I am and you are too. If the Mormons can do it, why can't we, okay? If the Jehovah Witnesses can do it, why can't we? The born-again Christian can do it. We have to have a certain spiritual competitiveness, huh? Got to be competitive. Hmm? All right, so that's the second thought. Third thought is that there is a man on the seashore. And he said, well, why don't you, he said, little children, have you caught any fish? And they gave a very laconic response, a two-letter word, which was N-O. No. Okay. So he said, why don't you throw the net on the other side of the boat? Probably thought, now don't forget, these are professional fishermen. They know Galilee like the back of their hand. They've been maybe fishing for 10, 15, 20, 30 years. So they know when the fish are biting. So you got this foreigner that says, well, drop the net on the other side of the boat. They probably thought, well, we got nothing to lose, no? We've been at it all night. So they drop the net, and they catch so many fish that the net was almost breaking. And they pulled the net in, and there are 153, not minnows, but whoppers, big fish. Who was the one that noticed first? I call him Eagle Eye John, okay? Eagle Eye John. Did you know that the symbol for John is the eagle? Because he had greater purity, greater spiritual depth. He was the mystic. He's be able to see beyond the natural. And he said, it is the Lord. Now Peter, training for the Olympic Games, he threw himself into the lake there and he swam to the shore, beating the apostles in the boat. Now this is very interesting. I've been a pretty good swimmer since I was 12 years old. I swam my first mile when I was only 12, so I'm a pretty good swimmer. Someone goes swimming, he usually doesn't put on his sweatshirt and he put on his sweats, no? But Peter did. Why? That seemed to be somewhat illogical. Something irrational, because if you know anything about swimming, you throw a sweatshirt on, you're going to be swimming with an extra 5 pounds. Huh? Why do you do that? The reason is modesty. The importance of modesty. Going before the Lord in modest attire. Now that it's getting warm outside, we can't have a double standard. In the church, we dress like Kamaldoli's monks, okay? And outside, we get in our Hollywood attire, huh? That's called hypocrisy. You know, we're Christians 24/7. 24/7. So there's no double standard. For Catholics, 25 hours a day, 8 days a week, and 366 days a year when it's not even a leap year, okay? We're always followers of Christ. As St. Paul says, we're ambassadors for Christ. Okay, another point is this. They could not haul in the huge amount of fish single-handedly. They had to do it together. What does that mean? We have to learn the importance of teamwork. Working together as a team. You ever hear the one-liner, the chain is as strong as the weakest link? You ever hear that? Chain is as strong as the weakest link. So if I've got a chain with 20 links, and 19 are of iron, but one's of cardboard, what's going to happen? It's going to be rent asunder, right? So, what the devil tries to do is the devil tries to divide. Whereas the Holy Spirit unites. Tower of Babel, confusion. Pentecost, unity. Most families have one member that is he's a seed of discord or division. In almost every family. There's one member in the family, maybe more than one, you've got a big family, that causes a lot of confusion. Okay, another example would be, have you ever taught, any of you, catechism or confirmation? There's almost always one person in the class that causes division and confusion. This year I'm teaching a lot of confirmation classes, and I've got one big class, and I've got three clowns in my class, okay? Payasos, huh? And if Father Greg Staub would say, you're putting out fires, okay? But having taught for more than 40 years, I more or less know how to cope with it. I put the ringleader in front of me, okay? You got to be right in front of me, so eye-to-eye contact with the big boss, Father Groom, okay? And there's one on the right, one on the left, and I got my helper. But I'm lenient. I'm lenient. You know what John Bosco would do? Look at me. He'd boot him out. One rotten apple. Finish it. Ruins the whole barrel, right? And that's part of the work of the devil, to divide. So we have to learn as Catholics, as families, in groups, to work together in harmony. And if you follow a little bit of sports, often the team that wins, be it the World Series or Football Sunday, you know, World Cup, whatever it might be, it's usually not the team that has all the best players, but the team that's working well together in that time. It's not always the ones that have the most talents, no? But those who work well together as a team. All right. One other point. Look how tender, loving, kind, and compassionate Jesus was. What was Jesus doing? You weren't even listening. He was preparing breakfast for them. Then you probably thought, well, why don't you go to Burger King, or you can go to a Black Angus, no? No, that didn't exist back then. Jesus was painstakingly preparing fish and bread for these men because they were famished. not like just throwing a reel in like that, that you might maybe have done some fishing. Dropping a heavy net in, drenched with water, they probably pulled it up a good 100 times, no? They were exhausted and they were hungry enough they could eat a horse, no? So Jesus was concerned about them and he prepared them a nice breakfast. Jesus pays attention to details. And we have to learn to pay attention also to details. So the Word of God is very rich. They were given bread and fish to eat, but you people are going to have a greater meal. What are you going to have? You're about to be nourished in the heavenly banquet. It's not bread or fish, but it is the bread of life. How blessed you are to be invited to this heavenly banquet to nourish your souls with the body, blood, and soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Well, so let's pray for the grace to dig deep into this infinite reservoir of graces, which is the Word of God. And let's ask the Blessed Mother who meditated upon the Word of God in her heart, that she'll give us the grace to not only understand the Word of God, but to be able to put it into practice. Amen.